right, let me mention this before we get to our scripture reading this morning, that so I can not have to mention it later, but a couple of weeks ago at our The Way meeting for the teens, I thought it important to bring up the topic, what is in our society called racism, and to see what the Bible says about that. And as I got to, after doing that and thinking through it, I thought, well, that might be good for us to camp on that on a Sunday morning, and just to see what the Bible truly says. And so that's what we'll be leaving our Psalm study for this week, and looking at the gospel and racism. And so we want to go to Acts chapter 17 for our scripture reading, verses 22 to 34. And we're going to be in several scripture this morning, but this is going to kind of be our launching point. If you don't have a Bible, the scripture will be up on the screen for you, and you can follow along that way. Acts 17, beginning in verses 22 through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with him." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Join me as we pray. Father, we thank you for the grace the cross brings to all of us. We're thankful, Lord, that you are the creator, that you made every single person to live on this planet, every nation, every people group, in your image, in your likeness, your offspring. Lord, we live in a wicked land. It all stems from sin. So, Lord, today open our hearts and minds to the gospel and to the scriptures. And, Lord, for any of us here today that have some sinful thoughts and philosophies and ideas toward people that don't look like us, or maybe people who don't have as much money as we think we have, or all kinds of things that we show favoritism, God, smite our soul and grant us the gift of repentance. In Christ's name, amen. The gospel and racism. In 1904, there was an African explorer named Samuel Verner. He brought a man by the name of Oda Benga from Africa and eventually presented him as an exhibit to the Bronx Zoo in New York. Oda was 23 years old when he came from Central Africa. He was only 4 feet 11 and he only weighed 103 pounds. He had been married twice. His first wife and two children were killed by white colonists. His second spouse died from a poisonous snake bite. When he first got to America, they took Oda to the St. Louis World's Fair, where he was in an exhibit with other pygmies, is what they were called. And this exhibit at the St. Louis World's Fair was an attempt to show the human stages of evolution. After this, he was taken back to Africa, but his family and clan had all been killed. That's when his second wife had been killed by the snake bite. And those that did know him claimed he was a traitor, and he now was a part of the white man's world. That's when he was brought back to New York. He was put in the Bronx Zoo. He was allowed to walk around the zoo, and people followed him around, observing him. Then they began to encourage him to stay inside the cage with the monkeys. They even gave him a bow and arrow. They even put bones of animals around him to make him look more animal-like. As he would walk the zoo, people began to follow him and chase him and mock him and trip him and make all kinds of weird noises toward him. They would poke at him and do everything they could to cause his life to be miserable. They would look at him inside the cell and they would often ask, is it a man or is it a monkey? He was finally let go from the zoo. I think some ministers realized this was wrong. And he was put back into society where he began to make fairly good progress living in society. However, after he realized he could never go back home, he would never earn enough money on his own to go back home, despair and depression took over. And March 20th, 1916, Oda Banga shot himself through the heart. That is absolute evil and horrible. That mankind could treat mankind in such an evil way. But so-called scientists were obsessed at that time to prove evolutionary theory, and many believed that there were inferior races. There was a supreme race, and everything else was inferior. In fact, one man wrote that evolution, quote, divided humankind into human-contrived races. And that is a true statement. That's exactly what evolution has done. In fact, we've been well aware of historical events in some of your all's time. I wasn't born yet. Most of us know of Hitler and some others. Here is a quote from Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. Blood mixture and the result drop in the racial level is the sole cause of the dying out of old cultures. For men do not perish as a result of lost wars, but by the loss of that force of resistance which is continued only in pure blood. All who are not of a good race in this world are chaff. So what do? You eliminate them. You kill them. You use them as slaves. Now, we've all seen recent events, have we not? On TV or on the internet and so forth. And I wholeheartedly believe that most of those news stories that we see are not people who are truly concerned about a real, legitimate, level-headed, factual conversation to fix problems. But what we see are angry, evil people out of control. That's what we're seeing. I'm sure there are many in our nation that realize that this is a problem. But what we have seen, I think, is nothing but hate, anger. And if I can blow you up, shoot you, hurt you in any way, I'll just do it because I'm angry. What do the scriptures say about this? This battle's been waging long before America ever was formed. It's been waging since the Garden of Eden. What we need is a word from the Creator, and we need a word from the gospel to see how are we to view this, what is most important about this issue. And let me just state this before we get to our points today. All people are evil. Black, white, green, yellow, purple, plaid. All people are evil, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Black people are evil. White people are evil. Whatever you say, we're all evil and need a heart change. So let's work through the scriptures on this. The very first point is something that I'm sure most of you know. If you don't, you're going to learn it today. There is only one race. There are not two, three, four, five multiple races. The Bible presents, and we just read it in the book of Acts, there is only one race, the human race. That's it. Caucasians, Africans, Asians, Indians, Arabs, and Jews are not different races. We are all human. Every single one, no matter what skin tone. And by the way, we all have the same skin color, if you didn't know that. It just depends on the level of melanin in your skin. We're all humans. In fact, let me repeat what we just read in Acts 17, verses 25 and 26. God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he, God himself, gives to all mankind, not just white, not just black. He gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Verse 26, and from one man, Adam, every nation of mankind came from Adam to live on all the face of the earth. That's why I don't think there's life anywhere else on any other planet, because the Bible says he put us here on earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. In fact, verse 29 calls us his offspring, all mankind. Every single person came from Adam. You came from Adam. We're all related, brother and sister, right? You know, you married your sister. Yeah. We're all related because we are made in God's image. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, Paul called Adam the first Adam because he is the one that propagated the physical race. He became a living being, the first Adam. When God judged the world through a flood and brought salvation to eight through the ark, Noah and his descendants carried on the first Adam. And by the way, what else got out of that ark besides eight people and all those animals? Sin. Sin walked right out of that ark with those eight descendants of Adam. So Noah and his descendants carried sin, the first Adam, on, and that's how we got here today. All of us have the same characteristics, do we not? How many eyes you got? Two? Asian, Caucasian, black, white, doesn't matter. We have one nose, two eyes, two ears. We are human beings. There are minor variations. It's simple to figure that out scientifically. And listen to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us, and by the way, that's plural in the Hebrew, giving us indication of the Trinity, God Father, God Son, God Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now notice how Moses wrote the word created three times in the next verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Three times he gives us the force. God created mankind. All mankind, every human being is in the image of God. They can have a relationship upward to God. They are higher than the animals. In fact, Genesis 5 repeats this and uses the threefold created. Again, created, created, created in God's likeness. Francis Schaeffer said this, man stands in stark contrast to everything that had been created thus far. Man's basic relationship is upward rather than downward or horizontal. He is created to relate to God in a way that none of the other created beings are. We are not dogs. We are not animals. You cannot look at a bunch of white people and say they're animals, though they may act like it, or black people and say they're animals, though they may act like it, or Mexican, whatever. We are all in God's image. And let me add this as well. Everybody is in God's image. Whether they live under a bridge or they live in a mansion in Evansville, Indiana. Whether they are talented in sports or whether they are not. Whether they're an A student or they struggle to make D minuses. And be honest, if we tend to view people by their money, by their looks, by the car they drive, by their success in academics or in sports. And we show favoritism. If you're good at sports, you can walk through this life and do whatever you want, pretty much. You can murder people and get out free. You can do whatever you want. As long as you are wealthy or a great sports personality, we show favoritism. But we have to understand that everybody, the talented, the non-talented, the rich, the poor, the ugly, the beautiful, the handsome, the whatever you are, Everybody is created in God's likeness, in God's image, no matter what ethnic group, no matter what people group we have. Now, there's only one race, the human race, but we do have different people groups, do we not? Oh, obviously, different ethnic groups. You study the Tower of Babel. When God said multiply, they said no and said yes, multiply and spread out. People spread out, and all those characteristics came to be, all those different languages in the Tower of Babel. So we first of all realize today that there is only one race. So the term racism is really not the best term. We could think of a lot of other good words, couldn't we? So here's the second point. God does not show favoritism. He does not show favoritism. Here's a quote from some white supremacy group. White people are superior to all other races, and their destiny is to dominate the others. Where in the world is that at from what we just read? Nowhere. We all came from the first Adam. So we need to understand who is our God. Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. Wow, that's great to know about our God. That means nobody can bribe God to take away your salvation either. That's a great truth. Acts 10:34, when Peter was shown that dream that now Jesus had fulfilled the law and now he could eat what he want and God had brought Jew and Gentile together. Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, quote, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Romans 2:11. In fact, in verse 9 of Romans 2, God says, I will judge evil. Verse 10, I will bless those who do good. Verse 11, for God shows no partiality. So if you reject Jesus and you live a sinful, evil life, he will judge you. He will not say, oh, you set the NFL rushing record in 1987. Come on into heaven. You got 5 Super Bowl rings. You're awesome. Come on into heaven. That does not impress the holy God. God is not impressed at all about that stuff. He is impressed with his son and his son's blood. That's it. God shows no partiality. We studied in our last study of Ephesians, talking about masters treating their slaves back then. And many of their slaves were teachers and doctors, and we looked at all of that. But to treat them in a godly way, Ephesians 6:9, masters, do the same to them. Stop threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. There's no partiality with him. In fact, James 2:4 says, if we show favoritism, we become judges with evil thoughts. Let me ask you this. If a millionaire invited you over to supper, or somebody in our church invited you over to supper who's a janitor making $8 an hour, which invitation are you going to take? Which invitation would you take? The janitor's all right. Amen. I bet most of us would say, I can't make it because the millionaire invited me over. It's in our blood and we're evil, aren't we? No, I am. Are you? Yeah. Don't you love it? I preach the truth. Isn't it? Doesn't it make you just churn inside? Amen. It hurts too sometimes, doesn't it, to hear the truth? James, instead in verse 8, he said, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now here's a truth you got to grab, okay? This is a truth you got to grab. In God's unfolding plan of revelation, he did pick a people group. He picked the Jews, did he not? He picked the Jews, and his plan was later to engraft the Gentiles in. Well, there you go. God's racist. Oh, no. This is so important. Do you remember what God said when he picked the Jews? Well, I think I'll remind you. Since you asked, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And if I can find Deuteronomy, I'll read it. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 8. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it's because the Lord loves you. But in God's plan, he chose the Jewish people not because they were rich or they were great football players or great musicians or anything like that. He chose them because they were nothing. And he did choose the Jewish people who were not worthy. He chose to set his grace upon them. But he also chose to use them as an instrument of judgment against those nations that rebelled against God. And God does not apologize for that. But you have to know this truth, that there was never a time when a Gentile could not come into God's people. There were some nations who were excluded for a while, but individuals could come in, repent, and by faith follow the God of Israel. It was always an open invitation. In fact, God's plan for the Jewish people was to be what? A testimony and a light to the world. For them to say, this is our God. But what did they do instead? They became proud and arrogant. Why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Gentile nation? Because he hated them. They were Gentile. He knew God would save them. And there's so many examples in the Old Testament. Isaiah 56 talks about this, how the stranger can come in. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 22. Verse 15 says, God set his love on you. Then verses 18 and 19 says, you were a sojourner, you were a stranger, you didn't belong anywhere, so you be sure you love the stranger, you love the sojourner. God is not favoritism as we are. God is holy and God is just, but in his plan, he did choose the Jewish people as a part of his revelation for the Jewish people to carry his love, his grace, and his mercy to the world, but they blew it. Made a horrible mistake. But don't remember Rahab? Rahab the harlot? God saved her soul. Remember our study of Ruth? She was a part of one of the nations that was excluded because of their rebellion. She, by faith, was able to come in. So we see this all in the Old Testament. And what did David say when he slew Goliath, or before he slew Goliath? Today, all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. His heart was, I want all the earth to know. So there's the reason why God chose the Jewish people. In fact, remember in the New Testament, the Samaritans? They were half Jew, half Gentile. Who hated them? Jewish people hated them because they weren't what? Pure blood. Hitler didn't just show up when Hitler showed up. Hitler's been around for a long, long time. But then, in God's revelation, what happened? Jesus Christ came, and through the blood of his cross, he put an end to what? Jew and Gentile. We studied this in Ephesians and brought them into what? One body, the church. Listen to back to Ephesians 2, 13 to 17. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in this flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus Christ's cross breaks down this dividing wall of hostility. He's talking about Jew and Gentile here. Black, white, Asian, just whatever you want to put there. The principle is applicable to. It is the cross that breaks it down. Why? Because we all are sinners and we all need Jesus, right? White people don't walk into heaven saying, hey, Jesus. Hey, white Jesus. No. White people deserve hell. Black people deserve hell. Asians deserve hell for all have sinned and fallen short, right, of God's glory. Nobody bebops into heaven bypassing the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near, Jew, Gentile. So all forms of any kind of racism, discrimination, favoritism is an offensive, disrespectful act against the blood of Jesus Christ in the cross. The blood of the cross is a beautiful picture of our need for salvation, the wrath of God being poured upon Jesus, and it's also a beautiful picture of our sin. All of the first Adam sin, black, white, yellow, red, plaid, green, whatever you are, all humans. So I can never look at any of you and say I'm better than you because I need the cross. I can never see somebody down on the street who has nothing and say I am better than you because I need the cross. I can never look at a black man and say you are horrible and you're less than me because I need the cross. It is the cross that brings us all down to our knees. And it is an affront to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross if I or anybody else thinks that we are superior to any other skin color. Next, Jesus commands us to what? Hate one another, right? Love one another. Love one another. Jesus said, I give you this new commandment, love one another. How? Just as I've loved you. Wow. Boy, that's a mouthful there, isn't it? Love like I loved. And remember when we studied through Mark when Jesus went and touched the leper? And we read some historical facts where even the priests that day and the Pharisees and the Sadducees would take rocks and throw at the lepers. Not Jesus. He ate at the homes of prostitutes and murderers and thieves, and he loved sinners. Love as I've loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples. Not by how many church buses you own, not how big your church building is, not how awesome your sound system is or your music is, or not how handsome and gorgeous the preacher is, or anything like that. I just want to see if you're listening. Isn't that an amazing statement? And I think this is probably primarily directed to the church, but we'll see here, it's directed to all. Isn't that something? People will know you belong to Jesus Christ because you love one another. And there are some church groups that teach only whites make it in. What? Where did they get that? Well, I know. An evil heart. Now, by loving people doesn't mean everything goes, right? Well, I love you, so you can go ahead and live in sin. No, that's not love. That's not biblical love. Love and truth always go together. And the one another, love one another, includes everybody in the image of God from the first Adam. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 tells us that we are to love the church and to love those who aren't in the church. Galatians 6:10, same thing. Love those who are in the church and love those who aren't in the church. Do you remember Luke chapter 10? When the rich man came to Jesus, what must I do to get eternal life? And no doubt that rich man really believed, if anybody in eternal life is me, you know, because that's what the Pharisees believe, rich people believe. And so Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So then it says the rich man, trying to justify himself that he was worthy of eternal life, said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus, the master teacher, goes off into a story. Remember the story he told? We call it the good Samaritan. And Jesus says a man was beaten and he was robbed and he could not help himself. He needed help. He's laying on the side of the road and, you know, a priest walked by and a Levite walked by. Two Jewish people walked by and they're walking by and, well, I don't have my lapel thing. They're walking by and, ooh, Dave, it's all bloody. Oh. Then who walked by? Half Jew, half Gentile, Samaritan. What he did? Oh, he picked him up. He bound his wounds. He put oil on them. He took him and gave the innkeeper at the Holiday Inn some money. He said, here, you take care of him, whatever he needs. Do you think that rich man who asked the question was pretty ticked off because he knew exactly what Jesus was telling him? Even this one that you hate, he shows you how to be a neighbor. Someone said, it's not so much who is my neighbor, but who can I be a loving neighbor to? And how can I be a loving neighbor to? I don't think you're supposed to end a sentence in two, but I just did. But isn't it interesting that even the racism that was so strong back then, they wouldn't even help a man beaten and bleeding. The Samaritan would. Remember when Jesus talked to the woman at the well? Remember what she said? You shouldn't even be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing talking to me? And plus, you're a man. Men didn't talk to women like that in public. Wow. Jesus showed him what it meant to be a neighbor. We're to love one another. So now, here's the result that maybe needs to happen today. Repentance required. You know, maybe some here today, and I don't know of anybody, but maybe you have been sinning in your views toward people. Maybe there's a certain group you look down on. Maybe it's a different skin pigment. Maybe it's a different financial status. Maybe it's somebody who's a Democrat and you're a Republican. Or vice versa. I mean, I bet if we thought long enough, we could have a list as long as the month of October or whatever, or August, of lists of things that people are different on. Is that you today? You look down on somebody who has skin that's black, skin that's white? It goes both ways, right? It always does. We're evil. All of us are evil. Asian, poor, rich. And do you know poor people can also look down on richer people? Works both ways, doesn't it? Boy, we're evil, aren't we? God, thank God for grace. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ's sake forgave you. Romans 6, Paul says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Our hands, our feet, our mouths are to be used as instruments for doing what's right, not hating people, not looking down on people, not elevating ourselves. I love how Paul put it in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The gospel's the answer. God does not say men are better than women. Boy, I was so tempted to say, but we know we are, but I wouldn't say that. But we are not. Men are not better than women. Even though God in his plan set up certain parameters or certain things about husband and wife and in the church, that does not mean that men are better than women. Right here, there is no male and female. Jews are not better. Greeks are not better. You are all one. Slaves not better. Free. We're all sinners. We all need Christ. And all the way back when God began his covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12:3, listen to this. Way back in Genesis, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of what? The earth shall be blessed. All the families, black, white, yellow, red. I am bringing, in fact, Romans 4:17, he's talking about the gospel. I am bringing my Messiah through your loins. And my plan is for every people group in this planet to be saved. I love what Jesus said in Mark 11:17. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. All the nations. Some Bibles probably say just for white folk. No, all the nations. But you have made it a den of robbers. And all you go to Revelation 5:9, they sang a new song saying, to Jesus, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. What people? Everybody from the first Adam. Everybody from the first Adam that got off the ark. Of course, they need to repent. But for the people, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Wow. That's the heart of God for people. Every nation, black, white, yellow. Revelation 7:9, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. From what? Every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Listen, one day in resurrected bodies, there's going to be white and black and yellow and gray and whatever combination of all those, praising the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who brought us to Him through the blood, His very own precious blood. And if you don't like standing by somebody with a different skin color now, you better come to the cross of Christ and get saved. Woo, brother, I thought I had some amens on that one. Y'all look kind of like you're mad at me, but I'm not sure. Revelation 14, 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth. Here it is again. To every nation, every tribe, every language, and every people. Revelation 15, 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. And you know the exciting thing, but the sad thing? That in our world today, the church, the true church of Christ in America is dwindling. But in places where people are being killed for their faith, the church is growing. Wow. Isn't that something? Where we can lay in bed and it doesn't matter on a Sunday morning, but some people are going out into the woods and in places to hide just to worship and sing with their fellow saints. Those churches are growing and people are coming to Christ. But we're so blessed, I think we've lost it sometimes. And those people don't look white. Many of them look black and all shades, all over the nation. And many of them are being beaten and killed for their faith. And one day we'll be standing next to them, praising Jesus. All nations will come and worship you. Revelation 21, by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Wow, isn't that awesome? But there is judgment for anybody in the first Adam who rejects Jesus. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you, there are black people and white people and Asian people and you name it that have been written in the name of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, is what the scriptures say. When a person gets saved, their name isn't written in there now. It was written before the foundation of the world. That means God chose people before He ever created them, black, white, yellow, red, way back in eternity past. Because God is not a respecter of persons. And He sent His Son to die for every nation. Well, let's land the plane. What do we see in Acts? Our God is not served by human hands. He needs nothing. He's the one that gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. I thought of three simple points. I probably could have thought of more, but hopefully we'll be able to see and we'll put them up here. First one is just simple. We must repent of all unbiblical views of man. We got to repent of that. There is no supreme group. There is none. We all came from the first Adam. The first Adam that produced a physical race. So today, if you have any kind of favoritism and partiality, today, the call is to repent of that. It's an affront to the cross of Christ. Secondly, we must view every person as an image bearer of God. Every single person here is here because God wants them here. Every single person. And every single person from the Tower of Babel that their little groups of same languages got together and some migrated to Africa and some migrated to Finland and some migrated to places where there wasn't much sun and some to places a lot of sun and the melanin in the skin began to change and years began to have certain characteristics. Those are image bearers of God. People are not monkeys. And I know you in class you see the picture where, you know, it starts out with a little monkey and, you know, and then the next picture it gets more human-like. Hogwash. God created men and women in His likeness. He spoke and it was. We are not monkeys. We have never been monkeys or anything else. We're in God's image. We are a part of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who produced a spiritual race to live forever in the blood of Christ and salvation. So we have the first Adam and the last Adam. So you and I have to grow in viewing every person as an image bearer of God. They're not objects. They're not its. They're not animals. Whether they make $5 an hour, or whether they're a millionaire, or whether they're black, white, green, yellow, or whether they can score 1,000 touchdowns in a season, or whether they can do whatever grade, or they're straight A student, or they're D students. All in the image of God. The last one. We must never be distracted away from our mission to spread the gospel to all people everywhere. In fact, I have hopes that one of the first people we support as missionaries is a group of pastors that go all over the world. They go to Russia, they go to Vietnam, and they get these groups. In fact, it's the preaching class that I've gone to several times here in the States. And they get all of these pastors in these little villages that come, and they teach them how to preach the word contextually and expository preaching. What does the Bible say? And they go out to their villages, and I tell you what, some of them are as dark-skinned as you can imagine. Some of them are lighter-skinned. Some of them are as white as snow. They go everywhere, and it's such a valuable ministry. You see, we cannot be distracted from our mission to spread the gospel to all people everywhere. Now, grab this in the context I'm going to say it in. Our mission, our main mission is not racial equality. That is not our main mission. We can get every single person on this planet to hold hands and hug and form a huge line around this planet and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, have s'mores, and hug each other and exchange pictures, and we're all Facebook friends. You know, you have 5 billion Facebook friends now. But if they're lost without the blood of Christ, where do they spend eternity? Burning in hell. And while we should view the things that I said today and obey these things, our main mission is not to try to produce racial equality. Our main mission is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Satan will do everything he can to distract us. Same thing with abortion. Is abortion, I think, murder and evil? Yes. I believe it's the actual taking of an image bearer of God. And we can fight and fight and fight, and maybe, and we should, but our main mission is the gospel. Do you understand that difference? I hope you do. Father in heaven, we're all sinners. This is a little different message than I normally preach, but I think it was a great reminder for me, for all of us. Father, I pray you'd grant repentance if anyone here has had something by your Spirit exposed today and how they view certain people, whether it's of different people groups or maybe financial status or ability or looks or whatever it is. Grant to us repentance. Father, help us to see people that you created in your image, no matter what skin pigment they have, or how much money they have, or how talented they are or they aren't. And even if they maybe think a little different than we do on some subjects. Remind us by your Spirit to see people as image bearers. And Father, I pray that you'd give us a heart for the world. Even the world that we live around, that you bring people groups into one through the blood of your Son. So God, help us in this world in which we live in that's full of hate and evil and horrible acts from people who are just lashing out, to shine the testimony of love and grace and the cross to all people. I pray that as our kids look at us, that we would not teach them anything but all are created in your image and all need the gospel, including us. So God, work in our hearts as we sing. I pray by faith in Christ's name. Amen.